You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. The 2016-2017 water year was one of the wettest on record in California. While all that water in the system was enough to officially end the state's drought, its impact on endangered species is another story, especially when it comes to the Delta smelt. Joining us now is one of the state's leading experts on the issue, UC Davis Professor Emeritus Peter Moyle. Dr. Moyle, welcome.
Thank you.
So to the layperson, one might think that last year might have been a good year for the Delta smelt with so much rain and snowfall. Is that borne out by the data?
Unfortunately not. I was actually hoping it would be, because in 2011, the last time we had a fairly wet year, the smelt did rebound a bit, but they just failed to do it this year. And there are a couple of things going on here. One is that the numbers are so small, we might not have detected any increase, even if it occurred. But it really looks like their crash just continued.
How many fish did you find this year in your survey at the end of the 2017 calendar year?
Well, there are a whole bunch of different surveys that go on out there looking specifically for Delta smelt and generally sampling other fish. My own surveys in the Delta and in Susie Marsh produced zero fish. The standard survey that everybody tends to look at is the Fall Midwater Trawl Survey run by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And that one is a three-month survey with hundreds of trawls. They caught just two fish. And that was the record low number.
I want to repeat that. Just two fish in that survey? How does that compare to other years?
Well, during really good years, which you had in the 1970s and 80s, it would have gotten hundreds of fish in that trawl program. And in recent years, it's been down, in the 10, 15, 5 range, very low numbers, but not as low as this year. And part of it is just that there's so few fish out there, they're just hard to catch. So there's a certain random component to the sampling.
Do biologists have an idea of how large the population might be? Obviously, if you found two fish, it doesn't mean that there are only two fish in existence in the wild, but do you have an idea maybe of how many fish are extant among the Delta smelt species?
Well, there are various surveys going on out there trying desperately to estimate numbers. The current number that's thrown out there by the fish agencies is around 4,000 fish are present. But you have to remember, this is a huge system. These are very small fish, and they're so difficult to catch that if you say there are 4,000 fish out there, it's 4,000 plus or minus 3,000 fish. So the number is very shaky, but it's a low number, whatever it is.
So you use the word crash when talking about the decline in Delta smelt numbers. Tell me a little more about that. Is this sort of a spiral issue, as we often see in some other instances outside of fish biology?
Well, the Delta smelt numbers have been, they really got especially low in the last 20 years. And then in the last 10 years, they've reached such low numbers that it's hard. I guess it's hard to call it a crash because the numbers are so low you can't really detect it, but the numbers have been remarkably low. And that leads to speculation as to, well, can they really survive in the future because there's so few fish out there?
I want to follow up with that. What would be necessary, in your opinion, as one of the leading experts on this, for smelt populations to in some way rebound? Is it as simple as more water in the system, or is this far more complex at this point?
Well, more water in the system certainly would help, and that's always the issue. The problem is when and where. And the problem is there's so few smelt out there, and you might not be able to respond anymore. Every year, there's one or two additional things that are affecting the smelt. For example, summer temperatures can get too warm, as they were last summer for much of the Delta. There are invasive species that are eating the Delta smelt's food supply. There's another invasive Japanese smelt out there that may be hybridizing with the Delta smelt. So there are lots of other things affecting the smelt, unfortunately. And especially when numbers are low, it's very hard to separate out the various causes of decline.
Tell me more about that last bit with the invasive species from Japan. I have not heard that reported on before. What's going on there specifically?
Well, there's a smelt that was introduced from Japan in the 1950s, actually, into the California reservoirs to use as a forage fish. And it's finally made its way down into the Delta. Actually, it's been down there for a while, but its numbers in recent years seem to have been expanding. And the genetic studies have been showing that it's breeding with the Delta smelt, but it's quite likely that the hybrids between the two species are sterile, so it's not doing any population any good. And that's just then one of these things that constantly happens as new threats develop.
So this has been remarked upon in many occasions, but what is the significance for the decline and ultimate, as you said, crash of the Delta smelt population to the overall ecosystem? Why are biologists so concerned about this beyond just the existence of this species?
Well, in fact, species existence is the main reason. You know, under the Endangered Species Act, the official policy of the American people essentially is not to allow a species to go extinct. But when I first started studying the smelt, which is in the 1970s, it was a very abundant fish and probably fairly important to the ecosystem dynamics as a prey, as a predator on plankton and so forth. Since its decline, really since the 1980s, it's been so rare that it just hasn't been a very important part of the ecosystem.
Speaking of the rest of the ecosystem, with last year being a bad one for the Delta smelt, what about other species? What about other endangered species in the Delta? Salmon, other fish populations, are they seeing similar declines as the smelt, or did they experience the last year in a different way?
Well, some species did seem to have a slight upswing. The longfin smelt, for example, which is also listed as endangered, showed a slight upswing in its populations. Not very big, but enough to be a little more optimistic about it. There are other species that depend on freshwater outflow that are better indicators, like the striped bass, for example. Even though it's a non-native species, it's really well completely adapted to our system. Now, striped bass numbers went up. And there are a number of things like this that are indicators that suggest that more water in the system definitely helps. But the problem is when you get down to these endangered species, numbers are so low, it's very hard to tell what's affecting the population.
I hear some people remark that bass and other predators could affect the Delta smelt population. Is that something that is borne out by your research?
No, just the opposite, especially for striped bass, which are generally cast as a villain in this. They're actually, to me, a positive thing because they're such a good indicator of Delta conditions. But when a species like the Delta smelt is rare, the predators aren't interested in it because they just can't find it. What the striped bass, for example, like prefers is threadfin shad, which is another non-native species which feeds on plankton. And so the predators are opportunistic. They go for the abundant fish. They don't go for the rare ones.
As we close, there's so much right now on this issue of water in California that's on the statewide debate, the national debate, of course, the Twin Tunnels project that is currently being reviewed and possibly revised by the state, perhaps reduced to one tunnel. We'll see what happens there. And then also the Trump administration is now holding hearings in regards to its plan to increase water pumping from the Delta. What would your message be to regulators and leaders in Congress or in Sacramento about this latest data that you have?
Well, I think the basic message is that you do need to consider the Delta as an ecosystem. And consider not only these endangered species, which we're supposed to be protecting, but consider the fisheries. The salmon fisheries, for example, very much depend on having a healthy delta or a delta that has the right attributes that, so that they can support them. So the basic message is look to the ecosystem and find ways to restore habitat as well as flows and try to find the right conditions that many different species of fish and birds and other things can benefit from.
Peter Moyle is a UC Davis professor emeritus and one of the state's leading experts on the Delta ecosystem. He joins us today on Valley Public Radio. Dr. Moyle, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome, Joe. Thanks for asking me.